So when a fight or an argument breaks out around you, what kind of person are you? Are you one who just thinks, great, I love a good fight, I love a good argument, I love to win, so I'm just going to go into this situation, hell's bells, and just, you know, fight it out until it comes to a conclusion? Or are you someone a little bit more like me who are very uncomfortable around conflict and are just wanting to find the nearest exit, wanting to find an exit strategy at least to get out of the argument? At least these days, I'm a little better at reading people and understanding what might be going on, where the argument might be have come from. I remember a friend many years ago saying that when she was confronted by this kind of situation, her first response was to simply say, "Oh, honey, it must be so hard being in that situation." And I think that's a really helpful thing or way to start the situation, to recognize that often another person might be coming with all of their own baggage, their own wounds, all of that situation that is there as part of this experience. But we see Jesus in the gospel today doing something a little bit different. Because in that opening section, when we're told that the people who were listening, the Jewish people who were listening to this discussion, began to argue with one another, the Greek is actually way stronger than that. It's not just a verbal tossing about. They're not just, you know, having a very polite kind of argument. The presumption is that this is a fight that is quite physical, as if punches are being thrown, people are grabbing each other by the shoulder. There's all kinds of confrontations and pushing and shoving that is happening. And so you'd think that if what Jesus has said by simply saying that the bread that I'm offering you is my flesh, that if he meant it simply as a metaphor, simply as something that was merely spiritual, as some people believe that that's all it is, that at this point that Jesus would back off and just go, "Oh, no, hang on, no, you've got me completely wrong. This is the way that I meant you to understand it." But instead, what does he do? He ramps up the argument. He takes it to a new level as he begins to say, "Well, no, this is my flesh that I'm inviting you to eat. I'm inviting you to drink my blood." Now, in societies across the world and across history, cannibalism has generally been discouraged. You know, you don't want to go to sleep one night and wake up with one finger missing because your neighbor got hungry during the night. Like, we want to limit cannibalism. So the Jewish people certainly had a very strong prohibition to eating human flesh, of course, but also drinking the blood, because the blood was the very essence of an animal, the very essence of us. And so part of the requirements of kosher food is that all of the blood be drained from an animal before you would eat the meat, to ensure that you don't eat any of the life principle of the animal. And so for Jesus to here ramp it up and to invite us to eat his flesh and drink his blood is very provocative for anyone. And in the early church, one of the things you see is that people outside the church writing about the practices of the early church, one of the criticisms that they make against the early Christian communities is that they were practicing cannibalism. They were encouraging people to eat the flesh of the Messiah, to eat the flesh of Jesus. So it's clear that within the teaching of Jesus in this section, that it's very physical. Because it's not enough for us to simply encounter the Lord in a spiritual way. We're human beings, we have bodies, we have the ability to encounter each other physically. And so Jesus knows that for us to truly be satisfied, that we need to encounter him in this very physical, we might say, a sacramental way. Of course, when we hold the bread in front of us, it always continues to look to taste, to smell, to has the same shape and texture of the bread that was there at the start of the Mass. There's no physical change. And yet in that physical reality, we trust and believe that in that encounter, the Jesus becomes, in the words of the Eucharistic prayer, for us, the body and blood of Christ. That it becomes for us so that we can be fed and nourished by him, so that we can experience the new life that God is wanting to give us, so that we can slowly be changed. You know, there's a saying in the fitness industry that, not that I'm a great practitioner of the fitness industry, but that there is, that what you become what you eat. Then so, you know, we avoid the fatty foods, we avoid the high sugar foods, we avoid highly processed foods because they're not good for us. So what are we invited to do? By taking the bread of life, by taking the body of Jesus, we become what we eat. We slowly are changed by the presence of the Lord, that it changes us, it transforms us. And there's a beautiful image in the Eastern Church of divinization, that slowly we're changed, slowly we're transformed by the very presence of Jesus, that he makes himself vulnerable to us so that we can receive him, so that we can be changed by his presence. But it's not enough just to kind of have a vague sense of that, not enough to simply believe that that's something that happens. We need to do something as well. Just as, you know, we might understand the principles of electricity, we might believe and make sense of why when a light switch is thrown, that, you know, that circuit is completed and that light suddenly bursts into action and we're able to see what we're doing. But unless we actually flick the switch, it's not enough to simply believe. It's not enough to say, yes, I understand that I'm able to comprehend what's happening there. We need to actually flick the switch. We need to make that act of surrender. We need to allow God to be present for us. We need to allow him to be part of our lives. And so today, when we form the communion line, when we come in procession to receive the presence of the Lord, let's allow the Lord to change us, to transform us, be hungry to be fed and nourished by the flesh of the Son of God, open ourselves to the gift of the mystery of being changed and being transformed, so that bit by bit, slowly yet surely, we will become more like the God that we eat.